Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled John the Baptist's DNA Test.
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Here we are, only a couple weeks from Christmas, and if your home is anything like mine, presents have begun to migrate under the tree. One gift that has been quite popular the last couple of years is that DNA set from 23andMe, or National Geographic's Geno Project, or the like. The one where you take a swab from the side of your mouth and discover all that that bit of spit can tell about you and where you came from. For many, these tests have tracked down long-lost relatives, revealed some secrets in the family tree. Probably for most, these tests affirm what they already know. My own big discovery was that my profile was most similar genetically to those found in what is now Germany. No surprises there at all. But I'm also 3% Neanderthal. That was news. And while I have suspicion about what side of the family it comes from, I'm not sure what to make of that information. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, when John the Baptist regularly drops by. And since he won't stick around all the way till the holiday, maybe we could let him open his 23andMe gift now. It might take a bit to wrestle him to the ground to give us some spittle. Living where he does, out on the edge of society, he's suspicious of new fangle-dangled technologies. He doesn't want to participate in the fads of the world. But everyone's a bit curious about this stuff, even John. So after some persuading, well, no surprise there. 6.25% in common with Elijah the Tishbite. This helps to explain John's unusual style of clothing. The only other person in history recorded to wear camel hair and a leather belt was one of the great prophets of the Old Testament back in the second book of Kings, who challenged the kings for their lack of faith and called people back to their covenant relationship with God. No, to find out that John has got some Elijah in him, that surprises no one. Oh, 3.1% Isaiah. Well, of course. The prophet Isaiah was the first to talk about a voice crying out to prepare a road in the wilderness for God to travel into town on. Something got a bit frayed at the edge of that chromosome's telomeres, and John the Baptist turned up as a voice in the wilderness, crying out to prepare God's way. A little bit of a difference there from Isaiah, but, well, sometimes that happens in the passing on of genes over the centuries. Ooh, and 1.56% Malachi. That's interesting. Another prophet, less known. But he's the one who talked about God sending his messenger before him to prepare the way, a messenger who had turned the hearts of fathers toward their children and the hearts of children toward their fathers, lest everybody be smote by God's curse. It does make sense that John would also have a little bit of Malachi in him. But then there's a gasp in the room as John the Baptist moves to show his DNA results to the evangelists. What everyone is most curious to know is how much overlap there is between John's DNA and Jesus's DNA. This has long been a discussion topic among the evangelists. The evangelists Mark and Matthew think there won't be much overlap at all. For Jesus and John were very different sorts of people. John was an ascetic who fasted, lived in the desert. Jesus was one who loved to eat and drink, spent plenty of time in the cities and towns. John was harsh, quick to condemn. Jesus was one who spoke of mercy. John anticipated heaven raining fire down. Jesus was one who said, now was the time for second chances. The evangelist John, he agrees with Matthew and Mark. He recalls that before Jesus' baptism, Baptists said he'd never known Jesus before. But Luke is sure that Jesus' DNA is going to overlap with the Baptist DNA. Gosh, at least 6.25%. That's less than a first cousin, which would be 12.5%. But average for a first cousin once removed. Luke is sure that John's mother and Jesus' mother, they were relatives. He doesn't quite know how they were related. And Elizabeth was certainly at least a generation older than Mary. But what Luke wants everyone to know is that even though Jesus and John were quite different, and even though both had disciples roaming around the land of Israel at the same time, there was no competition between the two men at all. Both Jesus and John were entirely devoted to the same God and wanted to bring about God's kingdom. They were both playing on the same team. And just as John is about to show the evangelist his DNA pie chart, he turns around again and he holds it close to his chest saying, "That's for me to know and you all to argue about some more." He says, you know, these DNA tests, they're very dangerous. If an insurance company were to get a hold of them, well, they might want to raise my rate for pre-existing conditions. But then he laughs out loud, almost maniacally. Of course, I don't think I'll be living long enough to find out. And at that moment, a kind of gray cloud settles over the festivities. Here's the one thing that binds the Baptist and Jesus together more than family bloodline. It's the blood that each of them will shed in being faithful to their respective vocations on behalf of God's kingdom. There are many ways of serving the Lord, but all of them involve letting go of one's personal hopes and dreams on behalf of a kingdom greater than oneself. Both Jesus and John were fully aware of that. And we who have been baptized both in water and the Spirit, we should be too. But that cloud only lasts a moment because God's coming kingdom is such a joyous thing to look forward to that it is worth 100% the cost, even the cost of our earthly lives. And next week, we will have to wear pink just to set the record straight on that front. And wherever one's love for the kingdom overlaps with another's love for the kingdom, we're not distant cousins, but brothers and sisters, sharing one father and belonging to one family. Okay, John the Baptist admits as he slips out the door with a chocolate-dipped Christmas locust. Maybe these DNA tests do tell us something important, after all.